All right, this is McDonald's. All right, this is not, and I hope it's better than McDonald's, but this is not your, Ruby Tuesday's steak and lobster. This is something that I had in my file, and my kids, of course, at the my daughter's, Matt wasn't there yet, but when I told my girls I need to get to the church, I need to find what I was going to teach tonight, they all accused me of going on sermons.com and finding what I was going to do tonight, and I tried to assure them that's not what I was doing, but they're not going to listen to me anyway, so they never did. Why start now? So 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15, a verse that we're familiar with. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, the Bible says this: study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There's a word that appears in this verse that appears only one time in all the Bible, and that word is study. The Bible tells us not just to read the Word of God, it tells us to meditate upon the Word of God, it tells us to hide it in our hearts, but here in 2 Timothy 2:15, the Bible gives us an assignment. It gives us some homework, and that homework is that we are to study the Word of God. Now the question I have for you this evening, and I hope you don't flunk, do you study? Again, I'm not asking you, have your devotions, your 15 minutes with a Baptist bread or reading so many chapters in the Bible a day. I'm asking this, do you study the Bible? When you're reading your Bible sometimes, does something come to your mind? Do you read something that you have a question about or you puzzle about and you write it down on a piece of note paper? And can I recommend that? When you're doing your Bible reading, I know this by experience, you're doing your Bible reading and you come across something, a word or something that's said and you thought, no, wait a minute. And you start thinking of other verses and you get distracted from your reading and many times never get back to it and finish it. So my recommendation is when you're doing your Bible reading, have a notepad or something next to you, and when you get to that place where something pops into your mind, write it down so you can pop it back out again. All right, write it down and then leave it there and go back to your reading and get done. But there should be times where we study the Word of God because the Bible commands. There's a command right there in 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Now, it's worth noting that your King James Bible is the only Bible that tells you to study. All the new Bible versions, the NIV and the ASV and the ESV and all, the ESV says, do your best to present yourself to God. Boy, what a lame translation. Do your best. The Bible says, study. Study to show thyself approved unto God. You and I are to be studiers of the Word of God. So what is studying all about? And here's what we're going to talk about tonight. Why? Why does the Bible command us to study it? Again, we're not talking about reading. We're not talking about memorizing. We're talking about studying. Whether it be studying a book of the Bible, whether it be studying a topic from the Bible, but studying the Bible. And let me say this. When we're talking about studying the Bible, we're talking about studying the Bible. There is a tendency, and I do it all the time, when we find a passage we don't understand or verses that we have questions about, it's easy to Google it and find out what somebody else tells us it means. It's easy for me to go one of my numerous commentaries on the shelf and pull it down and say, all right, I'm going to see what so-and-so says this means. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with gleaning from other people's information. But at the same time, the Bible commands us to study the Word of God. Study the Bible, not books about the Bible. So many people are so busy reading books about the Bible, they don't spend any time reading the Bible itself. And so we are to study the Bible. And tonight we're going to look, and this is number one, Roman numeral 1. There is no Roman numeral 2. It's still on my computer for some other time. I need Wednesday night filler, all right? That's what that'll be there for. But Roman numeral 1 tonight is simply this: why study the Bible? And we've got three reasons, A, B, and C, are our three reasons of why we should study the Bible. Letter A, number 1, it is essential. And you know what essential means? It means it's extremely necessary. You can't do without it. It's essential for spiritual growth. And our verse is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, which I'm sure you're familiar with. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Many of you could recite that. The Bible says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. I like verse 2 in its context, following verse 1. Verse 1 says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings, it says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. You know what's going to give you victory in your Christian life over the sins of the flesh? Is spending time in the word of God. And not just reading, which is again commendable and good, but also studying. When we get into the milk and the meat of the word, it takes us away from the milk and the meat of the world. We become more worldly when we become less worldly. And so the Bible tells us that for spiritual growth, we need the word of God. In Ephesians chapter 4 and Colossians chapter 3, both of these occasions, the Bible tells us to put off some things. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 8. We saw this back in 1 Peter 2, that as newborn babes desire, so that you can lay aside malice and guile and hypocrisy and envy and evil speakings. Colossians chapter 3, in verse number 8, the Bible says, and now you also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. What happens when you get into the Word of God? You begin to grow spiritually. You begin to make changes. You begin to put off some things. You know, they say this, that when they're teaching government agents to learn how to identify counterfeit bills, they don't give them counterfeit bills to examine. They give them real bills and have them meticulously look at those and examine those, so that when something false comes up, they can identify it because they're so used to looking at the authentic thing. Well, when we get into the Bible and start reading the Bible, and the Bible begins saturating us, then anything that's contrary begins to stand out and just glare out. A lot of Christians are so worldly that nothing offends them, nothing sinful of the world bothers them, because they're not getting into the Word of God, they're not putting off anything, and so they just fit in fine. But if we're going to grow spiritually, we need to be in the Word of God, reading and studying, so that we can learn to put off the characteristics in our life that the world just thinks are fine and okay all the time. Put off these things, and then it says in verse 10, and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him. As we grow spiritually, we put off some things, we put on some things. Notice number 1 under, it's essential to spiritual growth. It nourishes your appetite for the Word of God. Remember the old Lay's potato chips commercials? Bet you can't eat just one. And that, I don't know, that's true with any potato chip for me. Any chocolate chip cookie, any Oreo, anything. You can't eat just one. When you start reading and studying the Word of God and start realizing the wealth and the treasure trove of information and stories and truths that you have, it increases your appetite for it. The best way to get an increased appetite for the Word of God is to come to meetings like this, where the Bible is explained and the Bible is emphasized and the Bible is clearly taught, and then it whets your appetite and you say, I want to get more. As Peter said, desiring the sincere milk of the word that you might grow thereby. It should nourish us. Write down that you need not turn there for time's sake, but I'm going to turn to Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse number 16. You can just write the reference down. Jeremiah said this, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. It nourishes us. It's balm for our Gilead. When we sit down, I don't know how many times I've talked to folks. I remember Sonia when we were talking a long time ago. She told me in the rough parts of her life, she would sit down with the book of Psalms open in front of her and just read through David's recounting of those things. And those Psalms would just wash over her. They wash over us and they give us peace and comfort in the midst of storms. The Bible is our nourishment. And as long as we desire it and want it, we're going to have spiritual growth. All the sad thing is, if you and I do not hunger and thirst after right, if we're not hungry for the Word of God, we have a spiritual problem already. We can still be going to church. We can still be singing the songs. We can still be tithing. We could be singing in the choir. We can be doing everything outwardly we need to do. But if we don't have that inside hunger for the Word of God, there's something wrong with us spiritually. We need to get back in tune or the other things are going to begin dropping off. It's essential to spiritual growth because it nourishes your appetite for the Word of God. Notice the quote I put down there, and I got all this information as I was studying some sources at one time. The goal is not information, but transformation. We don't study the Bible just to fill our head with facts and figures, and so we know everything about the Bible. The goal is transformation, that it would change our lives. That we would put off and that we would put on different things. If you know your Bible from cover to cover and it doesn't affect the way you live, it's worthless. It's supposed to change your heart. It's supposed to transform you. It nourishes your appetite for the Word of God. Then number two, it nurtures your attitude toward the Word of God. It nurtures your attitude toward the Word of God. It's simply this, and boy, you know, it's different for me than for almost everybody else. I study the Bible every single day because it's my job. All right? It's not your job. You don't have to do it. I have to do it, so I'm tied into this. And so it's kind of like, you know, me telling you should do it when I get the free time to do it all the time. Now, you know, all those years that I worked the secular job and had to pastor at the same time, there was the challenge. I remember Brother Jay Cook, after he left here and started pastoring a church, I saw him one day at lunchtime at McDonald's. He was in there eating his hamburger and fries and working on a little sermon outline. And he said, how did you do it all those years? How did you do all that stuff? And Brother Merle, Brother Gary, you both went through that. You know what that's like. Working a full-time job and pastoring a church and coming out serving. And so now it's Brother Lewis calls it living the dream. Now you come in, I come into the office and I sit down and I get to study the Bible. That's my calling and my job. I get to do it. But not everybody gets the free time to do that. I understand that. But we've got to find some time somewhere to do that. And the more that we do it, the more that we desire to do it. I get anxious and excited when I get to come in and start studying a certain book of the Bible. Or start studying certain lessons. We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 8 this Sunday morning. I'm anxious to start working on Proverbs chapter 8 and get that started, get that going. It nurtures our attitude. When we start getting into it, we just want more and more and more. The little quote that's under there, and I think I mentioned this 6 or 8 months ago because I think we put that in the bulletin because that's when I was doing this work and studying this. Dirty Bibles often lead to dirty lives. When your Bible just gets dust covered because it's not being used, your life will show that. And again, it's not just, and I'm not against it, it's not a 15-minute devotion in the morning, and that's good. We should do that. But there's got to be more than that if we're really going to develop and grow as a Christian. So letter B. Not only it's essential for spiritual growth, but letter B, it's essential for spiritual maturity. It's essential for spiritual maturity. And we kind of send this, Peter said, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. If we've been saved any amount of time, we ought to know the Bible a lot more than we did when we first got saved. I don't know that there's a Bible quiz when we get to heaven. I don't know the Lord's going to ask us to write down the 39 books of the Old Testament and the 27 books of the New Testament. Some of you right now are sure hoping not. Not going to ask you how many chapters are in Genesis, how many are in Exodus, how many are in Leviticus, how many are in Matthew, how many are in Revelation. I don't know if the Lord's going to do that, but I do know this. He's going to want to know how much we studied His Word because He commanded us to study to show ourselves approved unto God. And a lot of Christians never mature because they never get into the Bible. Hebrews chapter 5 is a great passage about this. Hebrews 5, beginning in verse 11. Paul said this, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing." The audacity, the nerve of Paul writing to some Christian Hebrew believers and saying, "You're dull of hearing." Paul didn't pull any punches. He said in verse 12, For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God." When you've been saved any amount of time and you need to be retaught, the first oracles of the principles of God, there's a spiritual problem. Now, there's nothing wrong. I like being taught the plan of salvation. You know, and here's the thing. When you question someone about when you ask somebody, "Are you saved? You know the Lord is your Savior?" If they get angry or mad with that question, they've answered the question already. Because I don't know about you, but if anybody asks me, "Are you saved? You know you're going to heaven when I die?" Man, I'll have a smile on my face when I give you that answer. I remember years ago when I was working the secular job and they would let me print our prayer list. They let me print it at work for Wednesday nights, and I'd print it off and bring it in. One time it missed print or something, so I threw it in the trash can, and one of the secretaries came in, and on the salvation list, it had my co-workers at Famous Supply. And the secretary got mad at me. "How dare you? Are you talking about me? Is that me? How do you know I'm not saved?" I said, "Well, are you?" She said, "Well, are you assuming I'm not?" I said, "I'm asking you if you are." And we had a friendly relationship, so this was not antagonistic per se. But she got angry that I was praying for them for their salvation. That tells me a lot right there. Because if you're saved, you just say, "Hey, thank you." And one of the other fellows, big guy, told me this. He said, "Steve, pray for me all you would. Have your church pray for me as much as you can." I haven't seen that guy in a long time, but last time I saw him, he was going to church somewhere. And so we're happy about that. There needs to be spiritual maturity. He said, when you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again the first principles, the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. They were not maturing. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. You remember what 2 Timothy 2:15 said? Rightly dividing the word of truth. There's a lot more to the Bible than just reading John 3:16. And John 3:16 is great. You know, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But there's a lot more to it. He said in verse 14, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." We need to be reading and studying the Word of God so we can mature spiritually. Not just reading, but studying. Nobody cares how much you know if you don't grow. I've heard guys that can quote Bible verses, and 2 minutes later they're cussing like a sailor. You know what you just did? You just negated everything you said the first 10 minutes. It needs to make a change in us. We need to mature in our spiritual life. Here it says, letter B, the quote under it, "Some read to know, not grow." When you are reading your Bible, when you're studying your Bible, have a prayer in your heart. "Lord, help me to grow through what I'm studying. Help me to grow through what I'm reading. I'm not just trying to fill my head with information. I'm not just trying to become a Bible encyclopedia. I want to affect my heart, and I want to grow." I'm afraid that very few Christians really approach the Word of God that way, of wanting it to make a change in their life. Again, sometimes, and I'm as guilty as anybody of this, I read my 10 pages in the Old Testament and 3 pages in the New, so I can check that block off for the day and say, "I did that, now I can go do whatever I want to do." And I don't, you know what I mean when I say that. Now I can go read this or read that. You know, I've got my Bible. That ought not to be our attitude, that it's an obligation we're fulfilling. It's a desire to have God working in and through us. It's essential for spiritual maturity. Then letter C. It's essential for spiritual effectiveness. And here's the big one. It's essential for spiritual effectiveness. Do you want God to work in and through you? That happens by us being in the Word of God. We can do all the right things. Dot our I's correctly, cross our T's correctly, do everything right in the Christian life, and yet not have the blessing of God, not have fruitfulness in our life. Because if it's not done with the right desire, it's not effective. The Bible is supposed to be working through us, not just filling our head with information. The very famous verses we've got here, and you know them well, are in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So we know that every word in the Bible is exactly, I believe, every word in our King James Bible is exactly what God wants it to be. That's why I don't use any other Bible version. Now, I have them in my office because I like to do comparative studies to see what they're doing, but I never preach from them, I never read them. I don't use them in that way because I believe that every word, all Scripture, is given by inspiration of God. And if these are the right words, then any of the others are the wrong words. If they're the right words, then these are the wrong words. See, you can't have it both ways. One has to be right and the other wrong, or both of them are wrong, but they can't both be right. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. But notice this, and is profitable. Here's number one. Under the effectiveness, is profitable for doctrine. Now these four blanks you can fill in without even me talking about it because you know what they're going to be. But the Word of God is profitable for doctrine. What is doctrine? Well, it says right there, what is right? The deity of Christ, that Jesus Christ was fully God when He was here on earth, is a Bible doctrine. The inspiration of Scripture, which we're reading about in this verse, is a Bible doctrine. The necessity of the blood atonement of Jesus Christ, that salvation is not by works and by membership and by prayers and beads and all that kind of stuff, but salvation is through faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's a Bible doctrine. It's sad these days. A lot of folks say, well, let's quit talking about doctrine. Let's all just get together. Well, if we're all going to get together, we'll be with the Muslims and the Buddhists and everybody else if you're throwing doctrine out the window. But when we believe Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, that's doctrine. And the Bible is profitable for that. And there's a lot of Christians in churches today that have no idea what they believe. They just come into a building and sing some songs and hear some words, hoping to feel better about themselves when they go out, and they ignore doctrine completely. Doctrine is what is right. The second thing, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. For reproof. You know what that is? What is wrong. Oh, preacher, I want to know what's right. Tell me what's right. Oh, that's fine. And we all get, oh, it's right to love God. It's right to read your Bible. It's right to pray. It's right to go to church. All right, I love hearing. Now I'm going to tell you what's wrong to do. Well, I don't want to know that. Don't go to meddling. Don't mess with my stuff now. But that's what the Bible does. It tells you what to put on, what to put off. Anger, malice, all those kind of things like that. It's profitable for reproof. We need to be reproved. And the Bible, you know, that's why a lot of people don't read or study the Bible, because they don't like what it says. It contradicts what they think or what their uncle told them, or what their cousin said, or whatever it is. We need the Bible. We need to study it for doctrine, for reproof. Number three, it's profitable for correction. Profitable for correction. What is that? How to get right. Doctrine, what is right? Reproof, what is wrong? Correction, how to get right. That's what we need to know. How do I get right with God? How do I put off these things and put on these things? How do I make the changes in my life? I want God. You know, the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 5:23, I pray God your whole body, soul, and spirit be preserved unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible talks about sanctifying yourselves unto His coming. He that hath his hope purifieth himself, even as He is pure. How do we make those changes in our life? By understanding what the Bible tells us we need to put on and put off, by doing it, by receiving that correction, and by getting it right. That's what this altar is for. Folks, can I tell you this? We at Bible Baptist Church don't use this altar enough. Now I know we're a very receptive congregation, but we're not really a responsive congregation. And I'm not saying necessarily we have to be, but just like this, we need to ask God to correct us more often. And I know you can do it in the pew as well as you can do it down here. And some of you, bless God, I understand, you don't come down and kneel at this altar because it'd take three people to get you back up when you're done. I understand all that stuff, but I'm just saying this. We need to be asking God to correct us. Is there any... Don't raise your hand. I'll give you advance notice. Is there anybody here that needs no correction in their life? And I'm not raising my hand either. There's nobody here that's arrived in this... We all need correction. So when we're studying the Word of God, we should be looking for that correction. Looking how to get those things right. Then number four, it is profitable for instruction in righteousness. Instruction in righteousness. My daughter brings home her history book. She got a brand new history book this year. I ate it up. I loved it. That's just what I like. I started at page number one. I read far ahead where she was reading. She'd come home for the next few weeks and say, "Dad, I need help with my homework. I'm reading about this. Oh, here's what page it's on. Here's where that is." You know, that was fine. She had a cheater. She had help on that. But you read history books to learn about history. You read a math book. And we'll leave that to math. I don't mind science. We'll leave that to her mom. We'll get it. You read those specific books for those specific reasons and purposes. Why do you study the Bible? For instruction in righteousness. How to stay right. Once we've gotten right, how do we stay right? I took a shower 2 days ago. You know what I did? I took another one yesterday. You know what I'll do? And I know this is more information than you want to know. I'll take another one tonight. Is there anybody here that would say, and I got to be careful where I'm going with this. Anybody here that would say, "Well, preacher, I had one last Saturday. I'll get another one this Saturday." Now, there used to be a way of thinking like that. Or I had one in February and I'll get one before March ends. No, we know that we need to do it continually and repeatedly because we get dirty. Once you get clean, you just don't stay clean. So the thing is, with studying the Word of God, why do we do it? Because we need to stay clean. Not just get clean, but stay clean. Instruction in righteousness. The question at the bottom of the page is simply this. How can we afford not to study? You say, "Preacher, I don't study the Bible." Again, you're not going to tell me that out loud, but you're going to say, "I don't study the Bible." Well, you can't afford not to. Because you know what you're going to do? You're not going to grow, you're not going to mature, and you're not going to be spiritually effective. You want your family members to come to Christ? You want your coworkers or your friends to come to Christ? Do you want your life itself to be able to show fruit, show a Christian testimony and an attitude and a changed behavior and a life that glorifies God? The only way you get that is not through CNN. Not through magazines, newspapers, anything. There's only one place you get that way, and that's the Word of God. Why study the Bible? Because it's essential to spiritual growth. It's essential to spiritual maturity. And it's essential to spiritual effectiveness. I pray that this lesson, this outline, will affect us in such a way that it will give us a hunger and desire, not just to read, but to study. Not to become a Bible scholar, and not to know the answers to every question, because you'll never get there. But simply just so we can grow and mature and be effective in our love and service for God. Let's stand together tonight with our heads bowed and eyes closed.